Hey guys, welcome to Entrepreneurs Uncut. Today we have Ari Georgopoulos on the show, and he's the founder of White Key Marketing. Born into a family of hardworking business owners, Ari saw firsthand from his parents what it took to be successful in business. After trying his hand in various entrepreneurial ventures in his youth, Ari discovered the power of social media and that businesses were not taking advantage of this amazing marketing channel. Fast forward to today, and Ari has built an impressive social media agency, White Key Marketing, which services many blue chip companies and small business enterprises. They're passionate about making a noise for their clients through innovative campaigns that attract eyeballs and grow revenue. Ari is passionate, charismatic, and hardworking, a powerful combination that makes his future shine bright. I hope you enjoy the show. Ari Georgopoulos, welcome to Entrepreneurs Uncut.
It's an honour to be here. Feeling a little bit nervous, but let's do it.
It's all right, mate. You're in capable hands. Let's get straight into it. Ari, bring us back in time. What was it like growing up in the Georgopoulos household?
Yeah, well, growing up in the Georgopoulos household, from as long as I can remember, my family being quite hard workers. So we have my mum, Victoria, who has virtually run a wedding reception for the past 26 years.
Right.
So for as long as I can remember, she is at work during the day. She's on the phones to brides, from that 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. mark. And from a young kid, age of 5 years old onwards, I can remember, I still hear her pitching brides, all that kind of stuff.
Her own business?
Her own business.
Really?
So in the hospitality world. And, very, very hard workers. And my father, on the other hand, heavily in business too. He has been running a law firm for over 35 years. So if he wasn't at work, he was at home, reading files. Just a overall hardworking family from the get-go, and still to this day. To this day, when I come home, I can hear mum 7 p.m. She's on the phone to brides. Nothing's changed. And
she's still doing what she's...
Yes, still doing what she's doing.
Right.
One of the only ladies in the hospitality world, in the wedding world, actually runs a business by herself. As we know, it's tough out there. So she's repping it for the women in business out there.
Wow. Yeah. And have you got siblings?
One sister.
Okay. Older, younger?
2 years older.
Okay.
And she's heavily involved right now at Lauriston House. So she's got that business.
She's the reception.
Yeah, she's there booking weddings when she's not having babies. It's just a family that's been hardworking from the get-go. And we know too, if we go one step back further, and grandparents came from Greece. And they came here, like a lot of the other people from the Mediterranean, escaping because of the war. They all came here with nothing in their pockets, started in factories, and virtually built themselves up, which is inspiring. It's always a nice story when you have someone that comes from nothing and they build something out of nothing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And your parents were born in Australia?
Born in Australia. Right. In saying that, we are proud Greeks growing up. We'd be going to Greece every single year. I mean, if I counted how long I've been in Greece from the time I was born, it'd at least be 6 years of my life there.
Like in their summer or?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So we did go a lot. Quite humbling, as kids. Mum and Dad would take us back to the villages where it all started and whatnot. And we know how lucky everyone is and blessed, being here in Sydney. So going back as young kids, I think definitely, has helped kind of build, character and to understand how blessed we are.
Is that the big takeaway when you went over there, you realised how great life was in Sydney? Is that right?
Definitely. I think, you know, if you don't know any better, you can take things for granted.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were born in Sydney, where everything is quite cruisy, in comparison, and you don't know any better, you just think that that's how life is. But until you get up and, you know, you go to places where people aren't so fortunate, I think it's really, really healthy for anyone growing up to see that.
I guess we're talking more economically, like economically they don't do so well over there. Is that right? Is it like lack of the jobs or just the living standards were different?
Well, it's not just that. It's quite funny because you go back to the villages in Greece and, you know, you've got all these 90-plus-year-old people and that's how they want to live. They just want to – they don't want to go to the city. Yeah. They don't want to basically – they don't want luxurious things. And to be honest, they're living longer than we are here.
Yeah.
They have their simple diet, simple life, and that's what they do. They don't want TVs. They might have a radio, but that's it. So they actually love that. It's really interesting.
And what was the motivation for going so often for your parents? Was it connecting to, I guess, their roots, or was it to make sure that their kids, you guys, didn't forget where you came from? What was the motivation?
I think that was a big thing. I mean, I know my parents, my grandparents only spoke Greek to my parents, so them growing up, being proud Greeks. And growing up, you know, my mum and father would speak to us, to myself and my sister in Greek as much as they could growing up and take us back to Greece. It's really that pride and wanting to carry on that, which I'm sure too. I mean, your background Italian.
Yeah.
There's nothing like when you go back to Italy, it just hits different.
That's right. Yeah. It's a soft spot there and it's your heritage, right?
Yeah.
So I get where you're coming from.
It's hard to explain. I mean, you might walk out and, you know, when you land in Greece, the stench isn't right at that airport, but because it's home, it's perfect. I can't explain it.
And so your parents would have done really well to organise themselves throughout the year to make sure that their business, I guess, wasn't interrupted when you went away. Did you find that was a big issue for them, running businesses, that they had to kind of stop that while they were away, or did they have people working in the businesses? How did they manage that? Can you remember?
Well, that's what actually got me very curious about the business world is, you know, I would, from as long as I can remember, I've been obsessed with business. You know, the kid out of school selling the chocolates out of his locker and all that kind of stuff.
That's
and
you.
That was me. There was only like one or two kids that would ever do that at your school. It's just a thing in every school. That was me. And it got me very curious because I would see my parents work the house down during the year, morning to night, and really, really difficult hard work. I mean, a lawyer, personal injury, you're reading big files. That is very, very difficult to do. And then I'd see my mum, you know, from the morning to night, we're finishing 11 o'clock at night, 7 days a week, work really, really hard, and got me curious because when they worked really, really hard and then we, you know, there was a reward, it was coming up to summer, now it's time to get up and go to Greece. It got me curious that, you know, hard work pays. So that was good to see from a young age.
Because you'd obviously seen a lot of your friends, maybe who weren't Greek, or maybe who were, who didn't have that ability to kind of up stumps and go for that long European vacation. You must have known that was different too. The hard work was different, but also the rewards were different. Would that be right?
Yeah. Definitely right. I mean, my sister and myself definitely super blessed, and not taking that for granted. I mean, you know, as I get older now, you know, I think, wow, you know, my parents must have worked really, really hard and make very smart decisions to be able to do that. Mm. Getting older, only now I really, really appreciate that because, you know, myself right now being 27 years old myself, I'm thinking kind of 10 years down the track. I mean, in the ideal world, you know, you work really, really hard. And if you can have some kind of systems in place where you've got the luxury of getting up and going somewhere and having things work like a well-oiled machine, I think that's something great to work towards.
Absolutely. It's a major accomplishment. Yeah. And if I can bring you back to those times when you were young, seeing your parents work so hard, well, what did you take out of that? Did you ever, obviously a lot of good things, but did you ever wonder maybe why they weren't like other parents? Because they wouldn't have been like a lot of other parents having to have two separate businesses working so hard.
Yeah, I mean, back then growing up, it's kind of all I knew. I mean, I see my parents working super hard and virtually having those little luxuries. But even overseas, you know, Dad would take files, you know, Mum would be on the phones, you know, back in Sydney, making sure things are all run down pat. It was something that just growing up in the family, that was just the norm. So back then, kind of just thought that was all normal and that's how everything is.
And
I think that really stems back to the grandparents. I mean, the fact that they came here with zero in their pocket, like everyone did back then, and they had to basically find a job to work in a factory, then basically work the house down, that probably rubbed off until my parents, and then that it's probably virtually rubbed off until onto my sister and myself. And I think in turn, myself running you know, White Key Marketing for the past 5 years, there's got to be some kind of DNA of work ethic that has passed on. So it's one of those things that the DNA stretches.
And then in those early years, obviously going through school, what were your interests?
My interest, I was very unsure growing up through primary school and then through school from year 7 to 12 about what I was going to do in my life. Academically, I wasn't a high achiever when it came to the system and getting getting those really high marks, but I always remember having a strong work ethic, especially in high school.
You mean working in with schoolwork or working outside of school?
Well, what I do remember is whatever I did growing up, I tried really hard. Whether it was the sporting field, I remember, you know, trying like my life depended on it, on the field. Not that I ever was an athlete or, you know, was outstanding or number one on the sporting field. That was not the case. But I remember trying very hard. And whenever it came to competition, I got to say, I was a sore loser. I'd love to try my best and you know, be a winner in something. And growing up, you know, primary school and high school, there was nothing really I was kind of outstanding in. Growing up in high school, I did have a couple of close mates which were high achievers.
Right, academically.
Academically, on the sporting field, in all kind of forms of life, in discipline and attitude. I think that was a big thing. So just having the right people around me growing up taught me discipline and a strong work ethic.
And then you mentioned that kid who was selling chocolates and things out of their bag. So that was you, right?
Correct.
So what age did that start happening? We're talking preschool, we're talking high school?
That was high school from kind of year 8 onwards. I don't know. I would see my mum virtually, you know, selling on a daily basis and whatnot. And basically, she would also empower me. You know, sometimes I used to, you know, talk a little bit salesy as a young kid. And my mum would empower me and just like your mother.
Oh, that's great.
And I thought, you know what, let me try selling some stuff. And then that worked out. I felt empowered, like I was doing something. It wasn't so fair on my parents. My parents sent me to the King School out in Parramatta. And all I could think about is selling chocolates on the recess break. You know, so they're paying these great fees. And I was just thinking about, oh, I've got 20 minutes to sell chocolates. A little bit backwards.
Did they know about it?
They would sometimes look at me and be like, okay, it's cool you made $70 in your recess break, but you want to focus on school? Which I did try. But the whole system and academically, you know, I was never outstanding. Parents always gave me the resources in regards to the tutors and, you know, they'd sit with me for the homework and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, it wasn't a really, really big thing that I did well in.
But with selling the chocolates. You must have. What was it about that? Did you that entrepreneurialism? Did you what did you get the most kick out of? Was it the money, or was it just the fact that you're doing something that no one else is doing?
I remember always being curious about business. You know, from a young age, age of 15 years old, working at Lauriston. I don't know if that's legal, working that young in a. But anyway, I was working quite young, you know, and I know you've got an hourly rate, and I knew that, you know, back then $14 an hour, whatever it may be, back in those days, and then I'd go out and make a quick $70 in 20 minutes, and yeah. I used to think, okay, so that's a little bit of a kind of bypassing the system.
Yeah, yeah, that's a bit of a win.
And I used to always think, what am I going to do in my life? Mm. How can I, you know, make an impact? And it was very important on so many levels that I could have something under my belt where the sky was the limit. Uncapped earnings whilst making an impact.
Yes.
Never all about the money, but yeah, the making an impact and uncapped earnings was always a thing.
It's like an opportunity to fulfill your potential is what I'm hearing.
Definitely, definitely. And again, the mates that I had back in school, it was not cool to be lazy. It was not cool to be a bludger.
Right.
You know, we'd be on holidays and, you know, we'd go up, you know, wake up 5 a.m. and do sprints and
really,
yeah, those were the type of guys that they had their own scholarships in some form, and they were high achievers. And just being around them, I was always trying to prove a point.
Yeah,
I was kind of behind them, trying to keep up with them, trying to do something. But yeah, it was a really, really good group of mates to be around growing up. In hindsight, just from a discipline point of view, yeah. I just feel like in hindsight, you know, you got so many you know, kids out there right now doing the HSC. Mm. And I think it's so important for them to know that your mark is not the be-all and end-all. Yeah. If you've got discipline, you've got drive, and you're willing to work relentlessly, really the sky's the limit. And, you know, I don't want to sound like a motivational speaker or anything, but if I'm not the living proof that, you know, you can virtually, if you've tried hard, you've given it your all, and you still haven't got the mark, you know, you work and you're disciplined in life, you'll get anywhere you like.
Yeah, like life's not over. I agree with that. And even from my experience, I mean, I did okay, you know, probably not as good as my sister. She was the brainiac of the family. But I think there's a lot of hype around that time of your life where it's almost like it's built up. No one ever really says it to you, but it's just the implied thing that if you don't achieve a mark, then it's almost like the rest of your life's a write-off. And nothing could be further from the truth.
Mm. I mean,
all it really does is gives you an opportunity maybe to further on studies. But then there's this whole other world out there and ability to do great things and many different ways to kind of go around that. So I tend to agree with you. And at that time, you knew that, you know, the academics probably wasn't your thing that you wanted to keep pursuing. Did you have any idea in those years what you did want to do?
Well, the things that I would really dedicate my time to, I mean, I would try my subjects, but I used to be obsessed in the visual arts world. When it came to watercolor paintings and all that kind of stuff.
Creative side.
Yeah, the creative side, having a blank canvas and basically making a world, a work of art off that. And I was so cool with, you know, finishing school at 5 p.m. and sitting, you know, in the art center by myself, only person there for a good 4 hours every afternoon. I was so cool with that.
Really?
And, yeah, that was kind of my natural habitat. And then it was... And then it was sport. When it came to soccer, that's where my mind was at. You know, how's the game going to go on the weekend? And that was a bit disheartening too, because when you give it your all and you put in 110% and you still don't win, it was one of those things which I was always striving. I need to basically excel in something because in my mind I thought, you know, my parents had empowered me to basically get somewhere.
Mm. And was that sporting side was, or even the creative, was it was it a certain direction that you wanted to take seriously, or was it just sport, like sport at a young person's age? Did you knew? Were you thinking at that age that you wanted to go into that direction, be more seriously?
Sporting world, it was one of those things that, I mean, I could see I was never going to go professional. Mm. And, you know, I'd put in 110%, but I could see that. And in the visual arts world, I used to look at visual arts like, this is what I really, really enjoy doing, but it never clicked. How can this be a career type right. thing? Where in hindsight, I mean, myself being in marketing now, you've got a blank canvas. Well, really, you know, I had a blank canvas, you know, back in year 10, 11, 12 in the visual arts room.
Same thing.
And it was about telling a story.
Yeah, right.
And I look back right now and I think, well, I'm doing the same thing. I'm telling a story, whether it's through the medium of a watercolor painting or a production. You know, it's all storytelling.
So I want to unpack that a bit further when we get into it, because it's going to be really interesting. But you finished school and then it sounds like you didn't have like a really clear direction kind of where to go, and like the pursuing the academics wasn't really going to be for you. What was your next step?
So coming out of school, I was confused and I was thinking, okay, so I gave this my 110% and I've got all these kids getting the high 90s, all my mates around me. And it was a little bit of a soul-crushing thing. But with that, I felt a lot of fire in my belly. I'm thinking, okay, so now I really need to prove a point, because I gave 110% and that didn't work out. So I had a lot of fire in my belly to basically make something work. And, you know, I had, I was waitering for a good 4 years, but with that, I'd started four businesses. You
know, really?
I'd started four businesses. I was constantly looking for different opportunities, looking for where my place might be in the business world. So at one point, I was virtually selling protein all around New South Wales. At another point, I had a company.
Protein powder.
Yeah, Protein Power. And I was virtually going to all the any times around New South Wales every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and basically, you know, selling to the masses. And
really?
It's a company that had gone broke and basically it couldn't be sold. And that's what I was doing at the time too. I was heavily into my own training, and I ended up competing for a couple of years.
Bodybuilding?
In the Australian National Bodybuilding Federation. That was a big thing for me, because that basically kind of kept me sane, and I got a lot of discipline through that.
Were you always training in the gym before then?
From the year 12,
okay.
I got into it.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because you know how we all start training, it's all about the girls. You know, you train.
Everything's about the girls at that age.
We won't go into that. Okay, so basically when we start training, it's all about that, but then it came at a whole nother another thing where it was like it was a discipline thing, and it was just something that really, really helped build my character and really empowered me to basically excel in the business world. The resilience that you build, any sportsman, you know, resilience is a really, really big thing to push through pain and to stay focused, to be consistent. It's character, that building those characters I still use day in, day out today. So that was a really great thing.
That's awesome. And then, so you were doing, so it's like you said you were waitering, but you sounds like you're waitering. You started four businesses and you were competing in bodybuilding.
Yes.
You had your hands full.
Yes.
Tell me about the other three businesses.
Yeah, so we had the protein company, we had Focus in the State. I actually opened up my own PT studio.
Okay.
And with that came a lot of, you know, making sure you get the business name, the business cards, the brochures, all that kind of
personal
stuff.
Personal training.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
So I had a studio and I had a whole number of clients, and that came off the back of the competing that I did.
Right.
Was fortunate to win my pro card in the fitness world.
What does that mean? So that pro card.
To win a pro card, you've basically got to win in a federation at a high level. So you had we had the New South Wales, the Queensland, we had the national competition in Australia. There was a good kind of 40, 50 people there. And then there was a pro card international event out in the Philippines. We ended up taking out that out in the Philippines, got that first place, and that was extremely empowering.
That's pretty big, right? Like first place in international competition, yeah.
So it was the A and B Federation, and I remember thinking to myself, well, when I used to train and when I used to diet, and it gets pretty extreme.
Yeah.
When it comes to competing and whatnot, you're getting at those really, really low body fat percentages, and you're pushing yourself through a lot of pain.
Yes.
And it was super, super empowering. It was kind of the first time where I gave something my 110%, gave it everything, and then came out as a winner. And then I remember when I walked off stage back then, this thing triggered me in my mind, and I said, that's it. Now it's, you know, this is where we got to start winning more.
Yes, in the other areas of your life.
In the other areas of my life. So that was super empowering.
And what age were you around?
About 22 years old.
Okay. So
about 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you kind of competing at a very high level. You're running businesses and you're waitering. And with the businesses that you were running, obviously you were learning a lot.
Yes.
In your personal training business, in selling the protein door to door. Was that almost like a university experience in the real world, doing those businesses? Almost that degree in entrepreneurship. Do you look at it that way?
Definitely. And in hindsight, I mean, all those little things that I did, all those little odd jobs, all those little businesses, basically taught me the things and built the person I am today. Especially, I'm a big believer of hospitality.
Why is that?
When you go into the hospitality industry, you know, I worked about 3-4 cafe restaurants. You're talking to hundreds of people on a daily basis. You're talking to all cultures. You have to connect with them. You have to come in with a smile, and you basically you learn a lot. And it's also great to get your ass kicked. I think it's part of it that you walk in, you know, someone clicks in your face and goes, make it quick. And you look at it and you go, okay. You get that fire in your belly to then, you know, have that side hustle of a business and go even harder. I think, you know, every kid growing up, I think hospitality, a really, really big thing that, you know, no matter, you know, how well off parents are, they should just say, you know, don't just work for me, but, you know, go out in the real world, go get your ass kicked. And, in hindsight, it was tough love with my parents. I'm thinking when I came out of school, maybe mum or dad's got my back, maybe I'll just work with them. But they did the best thing ever for me.
They said no. They said go get it yourself.
Yeah, I thought maybe they'd come out and help me open some kind of. No, it was like there's no more handouts. There's no allowances. There's no. You go hustle now.
Wow.
And that was in hindsight a really big thing because if they gave handouts and you know they virtually gave me anything I wanted. Not that I asked for things. Basically,
you wouldn't have learned the lessons.
You wouldn't build the character.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
I agree with you. And then it's interesting you talk about hospitality because I agree with you. I spent probably about 5 years from say 15 to 21 in the hospitality scene, mainly front of house, a little bit of back of house. I agree. It's humbling if you can wait tables and do a great job and deal with all kinds of characters and particularly the hard customers. If you can know that they're there and no matter what you do, some people are just difficult, but you can still give them a great experience. It's amazing, amazing skills that come out of it.
No doubt. The people skills, number one. I mean, in the business world, we know if you've got people skills, it puts you in a really, really good place in any industry to excel.
I'm surprised that your mum didn't kind of hook you into her business and get you selling for her. You would have been a good asset.
It's one of those things where there was no chance in the world I'd become a lawyer.
Yeah.
No chance. but in the hospitality world, you know, she runs a great venue out in Dundas, Lauriston House. And basically I saw my sister and I thought, I don't know, for the rest of my life to be there with my sister, I thought, you know what? Let the sister have it.
Go out on your own path.
Yeah. I think it was a big thing that, you know, I went out and had a crack and tried to do something myself. I wasn't sure what it was going to be. I had a full-time job for 3 weeks. I only had a full-time job for 3 weeks. I had one company. Back in the day, it was one of Australia's largest supplement companies. They saw what I was doing in the protein world, and they said, okay, we're going to give you a full-time job, and you're going to be the New South Wales rep to virtually sell our supplements to our existing clients all around New South Wales. And they had mega KPIs to hit,
right,
which people were buying anyway. It wasn't too difficult. It's just about keeping a relationship, walking in with a smile. And that's when I was meeting a lot of people in the fitness world. There was a time where they flew me up to Melbourne. And out in Melbourne, they had this massive expo. It was the Arnold's.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember sitting on that. I asked the owner, I said, how much did this stand cost? And he said, it cost us $100,000 for the 2 days. Might have been 3 days. And
big money.
And I was just thinking, I was on heavily on social media myself because I was working with a lot of brands back then.
What year was this? Right?
This was only about 6 years ago, years ago.
Yep.
So I remember getting super curious. I'm thinking, okay, so you spent $100,000 on this stand, but you haven't spent a dollar on social media. And all you got to do is look around and see that everyone is on their phone. And people aren't on CNN. People are on either Instagram or Facebook.
Yes.
So it really did not make sense to me. And I started getting really curious, thinking, I actually said to him, I said, just give it to me. I'll just do it for free. I've got photographer, videographer friends. I know influencers. And I ended up virtually, you know, just starting doing free things for people.
Mm.
There was another individual which was starting a supplement company, and I had popped into his store, and he was telling the same thing. I've just started this supplement company. I said, you know what? Let me do it for free. I'll get together the models, the photography crew, the videography crew, and it ended up doing extremely well. It was a lot of guerrilla marketing where basically, you know, these days, social media, it's not rocket science. You don't need to have 4 years of website coding and strong logistics. All you've got to really do to stand out these days is roll up your sleeves, go into the business, and storytell. You know,
yeah.
Go out, mic up the right people, get the right, you know, influencers, the community into the profile, and do whatever it takes to get the profile out there. And I was doing that for free for a number of people. Whilst I was personal training, whilst I was had a couple of other side gigs going on.
Yeah.
I started getting more and more curious. I'm thinking, this doesn't make sense.
Right.
Now I'd look at these businesses, look them up. So you're telling me that company's been around for 30 years. They've spent $20,000 on radio and not a dollar on social media. In fact, you can't even find them on social media. But everyone around me, they're obsessed on Instagram and Facebook. So yeah, that got me really, really curious.
And then you said you were only at that job for 3 or 4 weeks.
Correct.
So did that thinking spawn the idea for White Key Marketing?
It did. So the way that ended up is they actually let me go after about 3 or 4 weeks. They told me I was not for sales, which each to their own. But yeah, so that's how – but it definitely made me curious.
Okay.
Because, you know, during that time, or even from a young age, I would always ask my parents questions, you know, how much – does that cost?
Mm.
How much are you making that? And how much do you pay that person? And I'd always ask questions.
Yes.
And when I started catching on to this business that all these massive companies didn't have an Instagram profile, when it's clearly, you know, the most effective way to market your business, everyone's obsessed on it, just didn't make sense to me.
Right. So you were obviously saw this gap in the market, and sounds like you were seeing real firsthand these companies spend tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on their marketing, but yet there was this sleeping giant social media which for some reason they weren't leveraging. What was your kind of first lead into creating YK? How did it then come about? When did you make the leap and how did you do that?
So it kind of happened, to be honest, by accident. And I mean, I've seen a bunch of your other podcasts, Mark, And this is probably one of the more unconventional podcasts you've had, because I'm hearing academics, I'm hearing people that were born into certain businesses and whatnot. But, you know, for me, when I started doing free things for people and just doing it with my heart, and it was never about a transaction, it was all about the relationship, and today it's still the same case, where basically I just wanted to help them get their profile out there. I started thinking about it. Okay, so marketing company, what's the game plan? And then I actually had my next door neighbor at the time had a cafe, and he basically came to me one day and he said, Ari, you're on social media. And it was, he just saw my personal social media. I had built a following over the years through the fitness industry. And he goes, can you just do my cafe? And I said, yeah, no problems. Just pay me a little weekly fee.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can basically stop it whenever you like it, and just give me a go.
Yeah.
So I would go to his place every single day with my phone and just give it my all, pour my heart out. When customers started coming to him and saying, okay, who's running your social media? That's really cool what I saw the other day. Hey, yeah. I saw that person talking on camera. Hey, I saw that new meal. He started going, okay, this is going great. So then I started getting introduced to more and more people. And it all happened through referral, right. Where basically I would go over and beyond for people. Good old school business.
Yeah.
A lot of guerrilla marketing, a lot of going up to customers, popping on a mic, tell us about your experience. Mm. You know, a lot of marketing companies out there, they kind of work behind their desk. But the whole way I went about it from the get-go was going face-to-face, roll up your sleeves, and guerrilla marketing. So yeah.
And then, so then you're getting referrals, which is obviously a great sign that your product is needed and wanted and the quality's there. So did you just start getting inundated with prospects and clients, and you ended up obviously doing multiple people's social media? Is that right?
I sure did. So what virtually happened was at the time I was still personal training, and when I got to about five clients in the social media world, was actually one step back. When my neighbor actually said, Ari, do you think you could run my social media? And I actually said to him back then, $200 and I'll run it. You can leave anytime. When I virtually walked back into my house, I just had this light bulb moment. And after starting four businesses and hustling and constant, I had anxiety. What am I going to do with my life? Where is my place in the business world? It was a serious light bulb moment that I kind of ran back to my computer. I actually had a friend with me, and I told my friend, listen, let's do this together. You know, I said, help me make the business cards, the brochures, all that kind of stuff. Trust me, this is going to be amazing. You know, if we have 10 clients at this price, we've got it set, we've got it made. I really knew that, like, this was my calling.
Yeah.
To the fact that I couldn't even sleep that night. It was one of those light bulb moments. I mean, I'm sure you've had it.
Yeah.
When something comes to mind, you go, okay, so this is going, you know what's going to work.
Yeah.
And that was White Key Marketing. I mean, that night I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, I need a logo. Okay, I need a name. Okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to structure this? What am I going to do? It was a light bulb moment, and I knew White Key Marketing was born.
Did you ever feel like that in your previous businesses?
Not a light bulb moment like that.
Why the light bulb moment? Why key?
The light bulb moment was, okay, so we've got uncapped earnings when it comes to this weekly fee.
Yeah.
So I've got the potential one day of basically, you know, having, you know, a heap of reputable accounts and a stable business with the whole business model.
Mm.
And yeah, I kind of knew I could make an impact here.
Yeah, because you were obviously getting a lot of referrals, which is proving that the product and the service was wanted.
Correct. So. And from an expertise point of view, I mean, all the kids now and even back then, we all know how to post on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
We all know how to caption something. Yeah. We all know how to do all that. So I was capable. I knew I had the skill set. And from a photography point of view and from a creative point of view, I knew that was my thing. When it comes to storytelling and all that kind of stuff, super interested. being on shoot and, again, spilling my heart and giving it everything and telling someone's story and getting myself out there, talking to hundreds of people, I mean, that was my kind of natural habitat. So I knew I had the skill set. I knew I had the potential. I knew whatever it takes, this business is going to work.
And in that first year, what was it like setting everything up?
Well, the first 2 years, it was extremely crazy. Working 7 days per week, nothing's changed. Working morning to night, also nothing's changed. But it was a lot of lessons. It was very unconventional the way I started. Yes, I had started businesses in the past, created banners and marketing collateral, and I had been down this road many times before. But the rate in which it was growing at, we got to that kind of 10 account mark, and I'm like, okay, so I've got enough money to basically hire a full-timer. And then it was managing a full-timer. I had never done that. And it's not like I had worked at many other companies to virtually understand, the way and systems to do things. So, going back, it was a lot of learning lessons on a daily basis. And to this day, 4.5, 5 years later, I'm still learning lessons on a daily basis. But, a lot of hard lessons. I used to have to feel that I need to check my phone every 10 seconds. A lot of people may feel this starting out in business. A lot of anxiety. Oh, what if that goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? That instability of business in the first couple of years. I'm pretty sure all business owners kind of feel that uncertainty. And it was just the unknown. You've got to create proposals, and you've got to manage someone, and you've got to keep people happy, and you've got to make sure they also develop and thrive. And then you've also got to make sure they thrive from a monetary point of view. A lot of moving pieces of the puzzles. And 2 years went very, very quick.
Did you ever speak to your parents about those challenges? Did you ever go to them for advice, and how was that if you did?
Well, even to this day, I have a chat every single day with my mum. Will call me and it'll be like, okay, how was your day? What's going wrong? Any problems? What's going right? Did you get any new accounts? How's this going? I watched this video. There was a lot of that. I also, a key person from the get-go was about 5 accounts in, I had a gentleman called Steve Lowe call me in, who is the managing director of the Local Business Awards. We know the Local Business Awards has pretty great business. They've been around for over 35 years. They're the most prestigious awards program in Australia. They sell out every event, and they've got about 35 events per year. Very big business. And he actually called me in to talk about, a lot of people thinking, is Ari the guy that does the promotional stuff, or he's the personal trainer, or he's the guy that did this business? Or there was a lot of confusion who Ari was, because I had tried so many things, put myself out there. But he actually called me in, and he's talking to me as in, maybe you could stand at the door and give out tickets or help greet people to come in. And I said, Steve, I know that you've saturated the market when it comes to, putting signage on all these businesses around New South Wales. I mean, you walk past cafes, restaurants, everyone's got finalists of the Local Business Awards or winner back in 2015.
That's right.
I said, but what about the digital world? In the digital world, I can't even look you up. You don't even have a profile. And he said, basically, we're booked out every event. Why would we even need that? And we've already saturated the market. I said, well, the digital world is your digital shopfront. It's just as important as your awards nights. The way you walk into one of these business awards and, you've got entertainment and a 3-course meal and everyone's dressed up, it's glamorous. I said, your digital world needs to look just the same, if not better. Mm. And he virtually said to me, Ari, you don't need to convince me. You just got to convince my team.
Right.
That was his answer. So I had a meeting. This was a key moment with White Key Marketing from the get-go. Was I walked into a meeting and I said, guys, just give me a crack. Give me a crack. I promise you, go out. You've got such a prestigious awards program. Everybody knows you. This is going to take off. Mm. That was 4.5 years ago. We've built it to over 18 plus thousand followers. But from the get-go, I said, guys, just give me a little weekly fee. But I ended up going to every single awards night around New South Wales. and basically attending those awards nights and just to be around business people.
Yeah. And they're your market.
And just hang out with them. I used to take a few videos. It wasn't about the money. Mm. It was about just the energy of being around business people. You hear these people, they win an award, they get up on stage and they're telling their story. It's all very inspiring. And I keep mentioning guerrilla marketing. And, you know, again, things were done unconventionally back in the day. And I'll give you a little story that guerrilla marketing that was unconventional but did really, really well. So I had
just
this,
before you do it, yes. Just for the benefit of our listeners, can you explain what guerrilla marketing is?
So it really is that unconventional marketing of you know, going out there and basically getting your brand out there. Whether
creating noise,
correct. It's creating noise. It's kind of marketing techniques that basically, you know, you might see a bit of a trifold on a table. We have trifolds on tables at the Business Awards, and we say scan for a good time.
Okay,
and people look at it, oh, and you just get hundreds of people trying to scan for a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
They're expecting something else, but they get the white key marketing Instagram. Guerrilla marketing. We go into a lot of businesses, this is what we do.
Yeah, right.
And this is what turns heads in it.
Yes.
You know, you walk down the street right now and you just blasted with advertising everywhere. It's those brands out there that use certain techniques that turn heads.
It's unconventional.
Yeah, unconventional marketing.
Yeah.
So what I did back then is I said, let me do this thing where I have a bit of a microphone and I interview people on the night. But you know what? Channel 7, Channel 9, you watch the TV reporters, they have the Channel 9 little flag.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to do that for the local business awards.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, I need to have this flag that basically has the branding on it, which will basically...
Their branding or yours?
Their branding.
Okay.
The local business awards. And that'll add to the theatre...
The prestigiousness...
We call it the Local Business Awards TV.
Yeah, gotcha.
And when I did it, people absolutely loved it. And they would look at me and go, oh, look, that's a trendy little microphone. But what I actually did, because I couldn't find a flag, is I went to Bunnings. Right. This is unconventional.
Yeah, yeah.
I went and bought a gutter.
A gutter?
A gutter.
Like the thing you put on your roof?
Correct, with the water.
All right.
And okay. I did a homemade job where I actually spray painted the gutter. I put that silicon spray, which goes hard. I thread the microphone through, and I made this Mickey Mouse.
Right.
And I would basically, after that worked really, really well, when I called the Local Business Awards TV, it looked great. If you look closely, it might have said it's 100% recyclable. But people absolutely loved it.
Wow.
And it got a great rap, and I ended up doing it for a lot of other companies like Mr. Vitamins and different gyms and all that kind of stuff. It was like a TV channel that we'd interview people. It's the kind of stuff people aren't doing out there. Go interview your team members. Go interview your customers. It's all about storytelling. Ask them, why did you come to this night? Mm. What makes you come back year in, year out? It's all that kind of stuff, which again, it makes White Key, White Key. It's storytelling, it's making noise.
That's awesome. And then, was that one of the first big accounts that you landed?
It sure was. And again, I would go to every single one of these nights. It wasn't about money. I actually didn't get paid to go to all the nights. I just said it out of, I want to come.
Right.
I want to drive 2 hours out on a Wednesday and get home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I want to do it for 26 of these awards nights per year, and I want to do it year in, year out for free.
Right.
I had a weekly fee, but that wasn't included.
And
it's that kind of stuff where, again, we go back to the discipline, we go back to the hustle, we go back to the hunger. I mean, any of these kids doing the HSC right now, and you know, they might not get a mark that they you know, anticipated or that they'll be happy with, but at the end of the day, you know, you're disciplined, you're willing to go out there and do free things for people, prove yourself. You're going to get referrals.
Love that.
I think it's a really, really big thing.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. And then fast forward to today. Tell me a bit about White Key Marketing today, where you are as a business.
So originally it was social media, and we virtually, you know, we've done really well in the Australian scene. In our line of work, we do pride ourselves on being the market leaders. When it comes to these ongoing accounts, we run people's social media, their Instagram, their Facebook, TikToks, LinkedIn. We go out there with that same hustle as I did Rewind 5 years ago. Go out face to face, whether it's a weekend, after hours, whatever it may be. We walk in with our photography crew, our videography, the director, greet people, shake the owner's hand, good old school business, just like hospitality, with the way you greet someone, and basically storytelling. Also, the strategy behind it, the content creation, the management. We've done really, really well. As the company's grown, we've developed with management systems. We have our operations, our people and culture, our sub-operations, our accounts, our admin, all that kind of stuff. And we've also expanded in services. So we've got the best kind of website people, people in the branding world, and it's expanded to the different services. And just recently, we've actually expanded out into California. Wow. Which has been amazing.
USA,
wow. Which has been really, really exciting. It's super, super important. I get bored very easy. and my leadership team will grill me for this, because if things haven't progressed in within a day or a week, I'm onto something different, new ideas, new trends, constantly on top of it. But that's been a really, really big thing, and that's now growing there.
Probably suits in the line of work that you do, because you need to be at the forefront, don't you? I mean, you need to be on that cutting edge. I mean, it doesn't take long for old ways to not be as effective in the digital space. Would I be right?
Definitely. I mean, you can't get comfortable when it comes to social media. Trends are updating on a monthly basis. In the marketing world, you know, look at websites. You've got new plugins. You've got new things going on in the EDM world. You've got marketing is just evolving really, really quick. It really is. For those companies out there who can adapt and innovate are the ones I really do feel, you know, the sky's the limit. They'll have a great company. But you need to be willing to adapt. Especially in the social media world, you've got to be light on your feet. And I do believe it's a young person's game. You know, growing up, you know, we've all grown up on social media. I mean, you've got kids yourself, yeah. Instagram, Facebook.
My 14-year-old boy, yeah.
Well, there you go. I mean,
Snapchat.
I was probably the first generation growing up on social media, Instagram, Facebook, about 18, started coming onto the scene, started downloading it and the rest of it. But, it was quite new. Starting a social media company, marketing company, 5 years ago is very different to starting a marketing company today. There are just hundreds of companies popping up on a daily basis. Not to say that they can't create a big successful business, but it is a lot more difficult. There's a lot more competition. I do feel White Key Marketing got a head start back in the day, and it was kind of, call it chance or maybe call it hustle, but we did get a head start.
Oh, you took the opportunity.
Correct.
It's interesting. It is seems like a very dynamic industry, and tell us a bit about what you think is coming up for us in the future in the social media space. Where are we going to evolve to? Are there trends happening now that's going to continue on?
Well, when it comes to social media, we can talk Facebook, we can talk Instagram, TikTok. We are getting more and more obsessed, human beings, on social media. We have over 80% of Aussies right now on Facebook and nearly just as many on Instagram. In America, it's even bigger.
Really?
And typically speaking, we follow the trends of America when it comes to media and whatnot.
Yeah.
Social media is not going anywhere. In fact, the percentages are going to rise of the population on social media. It's rising rapidly year in, year out. And basically, the engineers behind these platforms are getting smarter and smarter about how they can get people more and more addicted. Okay, there's negatives to it, and there's also positives. It connects a lot of people, and from a negative point of view, you've got individuals out there probably shouldn't be spending that long on social media from a health point of view. But it's not going anywhere.
That's nothing that you or I are not going to change. Is fundamentally kind of the trends going one way, and you either adapt, you get on board and adapt with it, or you don't as a business. Is that right?
Correct. I mean, you know, it's so important week in, week out. We have our White Key Marketing team meetings, and we're just looking at the new things coming up, the new trends. We've got to stay on our toes if we want to continue to be market leaders in our line of work. In saying that, Well, I lost my train of thought. So, yeah, well, storytelling.
Yeah.
It's the oldest form of marketing.
Yes, that's right.
In fact, if we want to rewind back to when we were little kids, we had picture books growing up.
That hasn't changed.
That hasn't changed.
Just the medium's changed.
Correct. But, you know, we rewind back. Storytelling, we've got these picture kids growing up, got the teacher, you got your mum going through the picture book. Always when you open that book, you have your character.
Mm.
You have a story behind it. You have a plot. Mm. The best stories have a conflict.
Yeah, right.
The best stories have a conflict.
A protagonist.
Correct. And those are the kind of key things which throughout history, it's never changed and it won't change. Mm. Everybody loves a story. And it needs to be a story that's real. And if that story, people will get behind it.
Well.
You won't build customers. You'll build a cult following.
Yeah.
You know, off a really, really good story. And the brands out there that are switched on really understand that and they invest in storytelling. And that's why we've been referred.
And do you do any study or do you follow anyone from the marketing space that philosophies or educational programs that you really believe in the marketing sense?
Yeah, I mean, from the get-go, I'm doing research with my team, personal development, week in, week out, on how we can better ourselves in the marketing space. I think that's really, really important. In fact, for a number of hours every week, we have a thing called Power Hour. We have our whole team. Everyone switch off what you're doing.
All right.
This is about personal development. We've got to be researching things and making sure we're up to date. If you want to learn something, and especially in this day and age, you know, you don't need to go always into a workshop or a university. You have two hands, 10 fingers. Yeah. Let's look it up.
YouTube.
Everything's there.
Yeah.
Everything's there. And, you look at the university world, you know, we have individuals that, you know, have studied social media, but the time they've come out...
it's all redundant?
By the time they've come out, it's changed. You know, the trends and the techniques in the social media world. Yes, you have the storytelling and whatnot, which stays the same, but the trends have changed. So what we always look for is we have a character, someone in that comes in for an interview, and we see them, and we see that they're hungry, they're willing to learn, they practice our core business values, they always turn out to be the best team members.
That's awesome. And back to Waikei and where it is now, how about where you're looking to go in the future? Can you give us a bit of an idea on where you want the business to go?
I mean, back in the day, we always went, we've got to work with the biggest brands, you know, from a fulfillment point of view. And that's changed the people who we work with. We always look for brands that practice our values. If they're honest, they've got integrity, they're good payers. We have to
important.
Say that.
That's important.
So it's working with good brands
yep.
that have our values. It's developing our current team members, making sure that they're getting educated week in, week out, leveling up, also making sure that we've got their backs to also develop in the monetary world and the rest of it. We have a duty of care there. And it's also, you know, making sure that, you know, our line of work, the social media part of what we do, we become market leaders and we stay market leaders. And it's also making sure that, you know, we continue to expand services, be that full service agency that a brand comes on board and basically we run them from A to Z. That's our kind of that thing that we strive to keep. Online towards, and that 10-year goal is ambitious of being that number one full service agency. We like to be in the nation, which is ambitious, but with the team we have behind us, I have no doubt we'll get there.
Awesome, mate. Well, if your story is anything to go by so far, I'm excited to see you achieve that. And it sounds like you got the market forces kind of going with you, and I like the fact that you're just big on those values, because I think at the end of the day, those are the types of things that really shine through in the long run, and getting a good team of people that are aligned to achieving that ultimate goal is really what matters. It'll help you get there.
No doubt.
Mate, thoroughly enjoyed the conversation to this point. keen to see how you're going to go with our final five questions. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, mate. Ari, who was your idol growing up?
Idol growing up? It'd have to be equally mum and dad, watching their hustle. It's not just about business. Watching, you know, you've got dad always dropping us off to sport, you know, giving us that time there. And also mum too. She worked the house down in the business world. But also that care factor, you know, always that home cooked meal, always going over and beyond, always making sure that it's not just about business. It's all about, you know, having that balanced life too. So that was pretty inspirational.
Awesome. And when you told them the idea about Waikē, were they in favour of it or were they concerned for you?
To be honest, my network around me, mates, parents, family, they're like, another business? Like, who are you? Like, you're that person, that person, that person? And I was like, Waikē's going to work, trust me.
Yeah,
this is
the
one.
Yeah.
Because I had tried so many times, kind of had that response.
And now, what's the feeling now?
Now it's now I could see that they're quite proud.
Yeah,
which is great.
Awesome. And what didn't you know when you started your first business, or even Waikē, that you now wished you would have known?
I mean, it wasn't at the very start of business, but I would have loved. My business would have excelled so much faster, especially those first 3 years. If I just trusted my team members, you know, starting out in business, I would micromanage, make sure I'm on top of every little thing, the whole trust I didn't let that go. And
for fear of them making a mistake that would be costly?
All that kind of stuff. I'm thinking, okay, this business is my life. I've got to make sure I'm on top of every single thing, and that's the only way we're going to keep moving forward if I leave no room for error. Whereas in hindsight, I mean, we look at today, you know, I just releasing. I'm still learning lessons, but I'm releasing the vine where we've got our, you know, people and culture who does all the recruiting. You know, there was a time where she would interview someone and I would say, no, I don't like her. And there's some team members of today, and I said, no, I don't like her. She's not going to be good for us. And she's just let me do my thing.
Yeah.
And they turned out to be some of the best.
Wow.
Team members. And it's one of those things where I've been proved wrong that many times by my team members. Listen, we can do it. We've got your back.
Yeah.
I wish I would have known that back then.
Yeah, something to be proud of.
Yeah.
And if you could have earned more money and had more time working for someone over all these years, would you have still started Waikē Marketing?
Definitely. I think, you know, when I look at the motives behind Waikē Marketing, it's something that I can leave a legacy behind one day, and over money, that's pretty important from a pride point of view that I've built something up. It's always been a thing. Running a business, the challenges of it all, overcoming those challenges, I just feel it was kind of in my blood from the get-go. I don't know where I would be without it.
Awesome. And I might have asked this a bit before, got a bit of a sneak peek, but I'll ask it again. How do you think your industry will change in the next 10 years?
There will be more platforms that pop up. I mean, you look at Instagram, Facebook, Meta, whatever you want to call it, TikTok. There's going to be more platforms that pop up. 100%. I mean, every year there's just new things that pop up. We've all got to stay on our toes in regards to making sure that we're up with the trends. But in regards to consumers, I mean, everyone's just going to be more and more obsessed on social media.
Really?
So, yeah, definitely. I mean, these engineers out there, they've just got all the techniques to basically capture your attention for as long as possible, and they're getting smarter.
Yeah.
And the mass, I mean, how hard is it? You've got Instagram, you've got Facebook, you're on Instagram.
Yeah.
How hard is it to basically just close that thing and just put it away? You can easily just sit there for hours, hours, and they're getting better and better.
I agree with you. And I'm not a person that loves to, I don't feel great when I'm on social media for a long time, But there's a reason why I'm on there for a long time. It's because, I think to your point, obviously with that news feed and the videos, they've figured out what I like, what I'm interested in. And over time, you don't realise, you just think you're looking at, instead of turning on the TV and watching the TV show that you're interested in, you're now looking at social media and it's curated for you. It's bringing up what you're already interested in. So it's almost like, well, I'm interested in this. It doesn't matter if it's Facebook or whatever. This is exactly what I want to kind of hear, whether it's good for me or not. It's a separate discussion. But the point is you do spend a lot more time than you anticipate, and that's how they get you, by get you on what you like.
Definitely. And I think what's important to recognise too is you've got all these techniques, all these sponsored ads, dime a dozen, you know, these graphics that pop up. It's the new watch that you've just looked up on your internet and all that kind of stuff. But the content that really, really stands out these days, and it'll be timeless, has got to be that storytelling. It's got to be whenever someone injects character and personality into one of those posts and they get you in that first 3 seconds, it's them talking on camera down that lens straight away, you're going to be hooked. Because that's timeless, that character and personality. And definitely for all the companies out there, you know, they're looking to basically start that marketing company. Mm. Whether you're doing EDMs or websites or Instagram, Facebook, social media, whatever it may be, storytelling across all platforms, it's something that they should really, really focus on.
Yeah, I love that. And what does success in business mean to you?
Success in business, I mean, I don't feel like there's a destination in all this. I feel like the second you, well, in my mind, from a psychological point of view, I also always like to feel like I'm on the back foot, like we've got something to prove here, like we underdog. Can be better. Or I'd like to see myself and the company as an underdog. You know, we can have, you know, one of our team members, our crews go out, do an amazing production. It's like, how could we have done better in that? I don't feel like there's a destination here. If we can, I'd be so happy if we can keep developing our team members where we can keep upskilling them and have them develop to be the best versions of themselves. If we can also, in our line of work of the social media, we stay market leaders in what we do. We keep expanding services. And as long as we're making progress week in, week out, that's kind of where I want to kind of have White Key doing for as long as I'm alive. It's just that progress. The second we stop with the progress is the second, I think, things start going downhill in my head.
Mm. Great, mate. Great. I love the dedication. And before we let you go, if any of our listeners wanted to connect online, what's the best way they do that?
Online, you should check us out at White Key Marketing Instagram. You can DM us through there. You also get to see our whole portfolio there, all the clients, the hundreds of clients that we work with across all industries. You'll get to see, I mean, I'm talking a lot about storytelling and whatnot. The portfolio is there for everybody to see. So, yeah, feel free. I mean, we've got our numbers. We've got our website at whitekeymarketing.com.au. But, yeah, Instagram's a great platform because we really show our portfolio. You get to see our lovely team, and it's who we are.
Yeah, it's an amazing channel, and I love the work that you guys have done there. You can tell it's very edgy, it's modern, and it does really capture eyeballs and really creates noise. So you're definitely doing something right there, my friend. And I think we've hit the end, and I just want to thank you, Ari, for coming on, being so generous with sharing your story. And when we started this conversation, we talked about the kid that was kind of selling chocolates in the school, and two very accomplished, hardworking parents who were in business, and probably someone who didn't really know where they were going to find their way. But I think deep down, you're always going to be an entrepreneur. You're always going to buck the trend. You weren't going to be, you know, follow the system, so to speak. And it's been really kind of amazing to hear how that story's transpired, never really knowing kind of which way you were going to go. But when we got to that point where you started White Key and you got that amazing success that you've been able to ride for the last 5 or so years, it's almost no surprise that you've been able to do it and build an amazing team around you in and around what's a very exciting and important area of business at the moment, capturing attention in that kind of new new medium compared to 20, 30 years ago. You've got a lot of tailwinds, and I wish you all the success in the world, mate.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Cheers.